Watson?
In here, Holmes. Just finishing my notes on our morning meeting. Any luck with you?
Oh, yes. There is much to tell, but it can wait. Gather your things and hail us a cab to Waterloo, and slip your revolver into your jacket pocket, good man.
You think it's necessary?
That and a toothbrush are all I think we shall need.
Mr. Holmes, I'm so pleased to see you.
Good afternoon. You see, we have been as good as our word.
Yes. Good day, Mr. Watson.
Miss Stoner, a fine day, yes.
We must make the best use of our time, so if you will kindly show us the rooms in question, I would examine the outside first.
Of course. Just this way. Those are the bedrooms there.
The one on the left, I take it, is the room in which you used to sleep?
It is. The middle was my sister's, where I am sleeping now. The last, on the right, is my stepfather's.
And on the other side of the rooms, is the corridor which runs between them?
Yes.
There are windows in it, of course.
Yes, but very small ones. Too narrow and high for anyone to pass through.
Oh. Now, would you kindly go into your present room and bar the shutters?
Certainly.
Watson, Do you notice anything odd about that end wall there?
I see scaffolding erected. Apart from an excess of lichen, the masonry looks sound. And the wall appears true and well-seated on the foundation.
Exactly! Do you not find it odd to find repairs initiated on a perfectly sound wall?
Indeed. Unless this young woman was meant to change rooms.
Oh, now that is suggestive. Thank you, Miss Stoner. No slit by which a knife can pass through to lift the bar. The hinges are well-seated, solid iron. My theory certainly presents some difficulties. No one could pass through these shutters if they were bolted. Well, we shall see if the inside throws any light upon the matter.
Shall we look into the first room, Holmes?
No, we shall discover nothing there to assist us. Let us focus on the middle chamber. Ah, Miss Stoner, are the furnishings here as they were when your sister occupied this room?
Yes, I do believe so.
Very good. Watson, what do you make of that ventilator high on the wall?
It seems an ordinary ventilator.
This bell pull, Miss Stoner, connects to the servants' station?
I assume so, Mr. Holmes, but I confess I have never used it.
I thought not, or you certainly would have noticed. It's a dummy.
Won't it ring?
No, it's not even attached to a wire. It's merely hooked to the wall there beside the ventilator.
How peculiar.
I should like to have a look at your stepfather's room now.
Of course.
Quite Spartan furnishings.
After my mother died, my stepfather had most of the furniture removed. He said he preferred simple surroundings in the manner of his quarters in Calcutta. He kept only this high-backed chair and that bookcase.
Complete with extensive articles on tropical diseases and treatments, I note. Ah, there is an impressive collection on animals of the Orient as well.
Not unexpected, though, given his years practicing in India. Tell me, do you keep a dog?
No, Mr. Holmes.
Curious, then, this leash. Perhaps a cat?
No. Does one leash a cat?
Perhaps the cheetah that you say prowls the estate. But actually, I was referring to this.
A saucer of milk.
Most curious.
A cheetah is just a big cat, and yet a saucer of milk does not go far in satisfying its wants, I dare say.
Holmes, look here beside the bookcase. Another bell pull. This one does not seem to work either. Curious.
But not surprising. One last thing, Miss Stoner. Do you know what is in here?
The safe. My stepfather's business papers.
You've seen inside, then?
Yes. I can't remember when. It was some time ago, but it was filled with papers.
I think I have seen enough now. Let us return to the lawn. It is very essential, Miss Donna, that you absolutely follow my advice in every respect.
I shall most certainly do so.
Good. Tonight, you must stay in your old room. Tell no one you are doing so. Take only what you will absolutely need from your present chamber this afternoon. I would also ask that you retire early and burn no light past 9. Do you understand what you are to do, Miss Donna?
Yes.
Do everything I have asked without hesitation. Leave the rest in our hands.
Of course.
I believe I noted an inn across the field there?
Yes, that is the Crown Inn.
And your windows would be visible from there at night?
Oh, I'm sure they would.
Then, that is where Watson and I will be for the remainder of the day and this evening.
Mr. Holmes, have you an answer for my sister's death?
I should prefer to have clear proofs before I speak. Come, Watson, let us make way to the inn. Watson? Watson, wake up!
Oh.
On your feet. It's past 12. We must be going.
Right.
And don't forget your pistol.
Right.
You know, Walton, I had some misgivings about asking you to come tonight. There is a distinct element of danger.
When you speak of danger, I can only surmise that you saw more in those rooms than was visible to me.
No, I imagine you saw all that I did, but I fancy I may have deduced a little more.
Apart from the bell pull, I can't see...
My God, Holmes! Did you see that?
That was the baboon!
Good heavens, I'd forgotten. Oh, I dare not think of the cheetah. Do you think it...
We must be silent now. The least sound would be fatal to our plans. Good. The window is still unlocked. One, two, three! We must sit without a light. Do not go to sleep, Watson. Your very life may depend on it. Have your pistol at ready in case it is needed. I will sit on the side of the bed and you in that chair.
Watson!
Holmes!
What is going on?
There!
You see it?
Holmes!
You see it? What on earth?
Watson, your pistol! Follow me!
Dr. Roylott!
No! Watson, do not move! Roylott is beyond your help. Look! There!
A snake!
The speckled band!
A snake!
It is a swamp adder, the deadliest snake in India. He died within 10 seconds of being bitten.
The doctor?
Roylott was responsible for Julia Stoner's death, and had we not interceded, was set to perpetrate a second heinous act of murder.
My word.
Please, if you could step aside.
Of course.
Slowly?
Yes.
Good. Now, with due care, I can slide the loop of this leash over its head and... There!
Oh.
Now, back to your den with you.
Splendid work, Holmes.
Come, Walton. Let us find Miss Stoner some other place of shelter for the night, and then inform the county police of what has transpired. Have you about finished your notes, Walton?
Yes, nearly. I'm still unclear as to the gypsies.
I, too, allowed that erroneous bit of information to confuse the issue. The presence of the gypsies, along with the poor girl's reference to a speckled band and her sister's speculation regarding a gypsy kerchief, put me upon an entirely wrong scent. Which shows, my dear Walton, how dangerous it is to reason from insufficient data.
Yes, of course.
Once it was clear to me how no danger could threaten an occupant of that room from the window or the door, my attention was speedily drawn to the ventilator and the bell pull. I first noted that the ventilator was between two bedrooms, which was odd, as most are said to pass fresh air from the outside.
Yes.
And once it was discovered that the bell pull did not function as one would normally expect, I knew it had to serve some other purpose. But what? It was then the doctor's fondness for creatures from India came to mind.
The adder. But how did you know...
The doctor's journals on exotics of India. The milk, the leash, the second bell pull. And you yourself suspected poison in the death of Julius Stoner.
Which was dismissed at the coroner's inquiry.
As he could not see the facts as plainly as I. A chair was placed underneath the ventilator in the doctor's room. The cushion showed wear, as if someone had stood repeatedly upon it. Therefore, I surmised the doctor had stood upon the chair and sent a deadly snake through the ventilator.
Remarkable.
Elementary. But more interesting was the fact that while the doctor could surely place the serpent into the room, it might or might not bite the occupant of the bed. That made for the risk that the creature would be revealed in the morning light. It was for this reason the snake was trained.
Trained? Ah, the whistle.
Excellent, Watson. We heard the whistle soft and low, which I suspect was to compel the snake to crawl down the bell pull. As morning approached, I expect the whistle would summon the snake up the rope and back to the ventilator, where it would be rewarded with milk in a saucer.
And during the day, Roylott kept the snake hidden in his safe.
Yes, you see, the poor woman might escape every night for a week, perhaps more. But sooner or later, the snake would claim its victim.
Only the sharpest-eyed coroner could locate two small puncture marks where such an exotic poison was introduced.
Precisely. With Miss Stoner claiming she had heard the same whistle that marked the tragic death of her sister, I knew what to listen for last night. When I heard the whistle, I came on guard, but I could see nothing. And with such a deadly presence lurking close by, I could not act hastily. When next I heard the snake hiss just above my head, I struck the light and lashed out with my cane.
And all the unexpected commotion coming from the room caused the doctor to whistle for the snake.
Perhaps the doctor was trying to recall the snake, that I do not know. But my attack roused the creature's temper, and once back through the ventilator, it flew upon the first person it saw.
Oh, terrible business. All for greed.
Indeed. Yesterday, when I reviewed the will of Miss Stoner's mother filed in London... Her estate was valued at a goodly sum. The will also stipulated that upon their marriage, each of her daughters was to receive half the estate. Apparently, Roylott was unwilling to part with money. It has been proven that the last of the Stoke Moran heirs would rather kill his stepdaughters than risk further decline in his living standard.
A doctor? It's unimaginable.
When a doctor does go wrong, he is the first of criminals. He has nerve, and he has knowledge. I am no doubt indirectly responsible for Dr. Grimsby Roylott's death, Watson, but I cannot say that it will weigh very heavily upon my conscience.
You've been listening to The Speckled Band, based on the original story by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Adapted for one-act audio theater by Glenn Carlson and Scott Crisp. Recorded at Lindner Sound in San Francisco, with Scott Crisp as Sherlock Holmes, Glenn Carlson as Dr. Watson, Blansett Reynolds as Helen Stoner, and featuring Jeff Arnold. Produced and directed by Glenn Carlson and the one-act players, who invite you to visit our website at www.oneact.org.